Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Network, celebrating our third year on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. Thank you for helping us become a number one rated live show with over 1 million global listeners. Our team is on a mission to help you discover your authentic best self and bring it to the world. And now, here's our show.
Well, hi, everybody. I'm Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino. I'm the host of the Best Ever You Show, and I'm so happy that you're with us today. We're going to get back into the swing of things with our radio shows, kicking up here in the fall and winter time. I know a lot of you are like, hey, where'd that show go? And we didn't really go anywhere except onto the baseball field and around the country, because I can't do like eight things at once. I can, but I'm kind of already doing them, so this is like the ninth and tenth thing. But my son, I have four boys, and they're 13, 15, 17, and 19, and I think they need us parents a little more as they get older than they did when they were younger even. It's really crazy. So we're entering this zone where everybody's visiting colleges and playing baseball all around the country or has a job that they're going to or wants to try this new thing. So we've got four very different boys doing very different things, from meteorology to bodybuilding to baseball to architecture. So we're running around scrambling like parents. My husband and I looked at each other last night. We're so tired. It was funny. We're like, yeah, but they're great kids, so we got to keep doing it. So get some sleep, and I'll catch you in the morning. It was really cute. And he sent me a text. My husband just sent me a text saying good luck with the show, because this show is so important. It's so near and dear to our own home. I don't mean the Best Ever You Show. I mean this show we're about to do right here, this Get Real, Produce Your Own Life. We have a really neat guest with us. We have Dr. Nancy Maramer. There we go. Dr. Nancy Maramer with us, and she can correct her name a little bit. We've been fiddling around with that because I had it all wrong in my head, and I've done shows with her before, and every time I do a show, it's like my last name. We have to kind of go through what it is. But anyway, so welcome Dr. Nancy Maramer to the show, and she is the author of this awesome new book. It's called Get Real, Produce Your Own Life. And it's a book that satisfies your desire to be truly and unbelievably happy, authentic, and fulfilled. And it makes it easier than you ever thought possible and entertains you at the same time. It definitely does that. I've read it, and she'll explain a little bit more. But what I love about this is that you get to watch TV and the movies somehow to bring you to the exciting conclusion of a conscious, authentic life. She's going to explain what that means, because sometimes when you're watching TV and movies, you're sort of lost in it, or it's negative, or you need to shut it off because it's just so not PG-13 or whatever. So she's going to kind of train us here on TV and movies and how that applies to our lives. So if you're looking for deep fulfillment that comes from your core, listen to us here for the next hour, because it's going to be a really fun show. And you'll be amazed as you listen to Dr. Nancy to see how many of your beliefs and self-judgments and expectations actually come from TV, movies, the internet, and even those old things called billboards and magazines that we have on our iPads now, that I still love, but whatever. But to get you real, you'll keep the media messages that support who you truly are and leave all the other ones behind. So Dr. Nancy is the founder of Transfer Media, and it's a business. I've done lots of things with Dr. Nancy in the past here, but it's founded to create transformational media for personal growth. And those types of things include, like we were saying, TV, radio, articles, books, blogs, workshops, lectures, and all that sort of stuff. So, and you can visit her website while we're listening to her chat with us at drnancyonline.com. Did I get your name right, Nancy?
Well, it's Maramer, Dr. Nancy Maramer. But hey, that was close enough. And I was just so impressed that you had time to get real today with all the things that are going on in your life.
It's a busy world, isn't it? I actually kind of find this hour so peaceful, because it's kind of like me time in a way. And my kids are all used to it now, because I've been doing this for 3 years, and they love the show and they listen to it. And if it's a younger show, sometimes they'll share it with their friends, and it's really fun. So I love having you on here, and I love the fact that you wrote this book, Get Real. And people can also go to your website, realconsciousliving.com. That's another one. Tell us why'd you take the time to write another book? Because you're awfully busy too.
You know, I am awfully busy, but what I've been doing for this many years is bringing psychology into the media and bringing the media into psychology. So it's been sort of a marriage of two different ways that we learn. And, you know, what you were saying is so true. We are so heavily influenced by media, and you were talking about shows that are interesting for kids. This one applies to kids a great deal because we get a lot of our goals and our ideas about who we ought to be from the media. We get ideas about our self-esteem, about ideas about things that we should buy and how we should spend our money. And I'd like to talk a little bit about money today and how media influences our spending, because we're coming up on the spending season. Some people call it the shopping season. And I have some great tips on how not to be influenced by the TV ads and the home shopping networks. And to know when it's okay and when it's not. Because TV influences us subliminally. The ideas and the advertising and the images of ourselves go into our mind without us even realizing it's happened.
I can believe that. I remember watching Saturday morning cartoons and the commercials when I was a kid, and they're still very much that way. And then your kid, like my kids, are like, yeah, they're bigger now, but, you know, let's go buy that toy or that this or that. And sometimes it's a direct direct message. It's not so subconscious. It's like, hey, go buy that. What do you think about
that? But the way
that
kid gets excited about that, the ad is, the marketing is showing children who maybe are around the age of your kids, who maybe look like your kids or dress like your kids, having a wonderful time. So it may, the ad doesn't say go out and buy this, but it makes you want to buy it. And so then your child comes to you, and he not only comes to you to say, Mom, can I have this for Christmas? He says, can we buy this sugary cereal that was just advertised on my favorite cartoon? And I'm sure you've heard that too.
Yeah. Or the news. You know, one of the things that I like about your book is that it influences, you're teaching us or showing us that the media or the TV or the internet or even video games, they influence and affect your love life, your spending, your need for adventure, maybe your political views, your interactions in your family, your spiritual or religious beliefs, and your levels of drama. Wow, that's a list.
That is a list. And, you know, I have to say, here we are on Blog Talk Radio. This is media. And, you know, Elizabeth, you and I both know, we love the media. We love to go to the movies. We love your radio show. And where would we be without media? We wouldn't know many of the things that we know. We wouldn't be connected to other cultures. The media is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity if it's used consciously. And, you know, in my brand, Real Conscious Living, the idea is to arrive at a place where you're living consciously. You're aware of who you are, what your goals are, and whether or not you're living them out. And so watching TV and waking up and becoming conscious to the influences can put you in a place where you are producing your own life and you're not being produced by what you see on television.
And if you think about that as a consumer of the media, you know, the people who are producing the media are probably very well aware of what they are putting out. And is it up to you to decide what you think about it and whether you want to watch it or not, or be influenced by it or not?
You know, you make a very good point. If a producer is doing their job, they're influencing you. That's what they're supposed to be doing. Whether it's a mystery crime show that keeps you in your seat until the end, or it's an ad that makes you want to buy something, they're doing their job, and they're doing it well. And that's just good marketing. So I don't want to demonize it in any way, but we want to be conscious to what the hypnotic effects are, because the idea that we're sort of in a trance when we watch TV and that the information goes in really revolves around hypnosis. And I like to define hypnosis as a wakeful state of focused attention and heightened suggestibility with lower awareness of what is going on around you. Now, that's a mouthful, but what it means is you are focused, you are highly suggestible, you're relaxed, you're not defensive about what's being presented, and you don't really know what's going on around you. So you're in a state of hypnosis, actually. And in each chapter of the book that you mentioned, whether it's about love or money or politics, we look at how the trances are presented and how you can break them. So once you recognize them, you're going to see them every time you watch TV. You're going to be aware of all of the things about love and money and family that are presented to you, and you're going to be so conscious of them that you won't miss them in the future. You'll be able to watch consciously. And, you know, one of the things, really the goal of the book, is to learn to watch consciously so that you can live consciously. Those skills sounds transfer like a, beautifully.
Sounds like a good way to be around pizza. As you're sitting there talking about hypnosis, I'm like, I wonder if I could be that way around food and pizza and things like that. I think there's bigger applications also to what you're saying. I'm joking around, but, you know,
yes.
There are so many bigger implications to this book. I mean, I know you're focused on media and everything like that, but you have a real way of writing that apply. You can take what you've written and kind of apply it to every aspect of your life, whether it's, you know, food or exercise or anything. I noticed that in reading this book. I'm like, hey, you know, I might not be interested in how the political part happens, but, you know, I can take that section and apply it. It's kind of neat the way you write. It's hard to explain without somebody listening to the show without having read this book, but it seems like your skill set applies to so much.
Well, thank you. And the book really, I really think it's a lot of fun, and I'm glad that you enjoy the writing. And as you said, I may not be interested in how I'm influenced by political ads or news stories, but I'm interested in how they affect me and how they sort of get under my skin and get into my mind and influence me, because so much of it, this is the same as reality TV, quote, I put that in quotes because reality TV is not real. There's a fun chapter on reality TV, why we like it, how it influences us. But the news is, in a sense, reality TV, and as our news stories, because they're, you know, supposedly about things that are happening in the moment. But in the politics chapter and in the reality chapter, I talk about how everything on television has to be a story, or we're not really all that interested. So let's say you're watching the Food Channel. We'll go back to your topic of food.
I know, I'm just thinking about food. I must be hungry.
And we're watching, let's say we're watching the Cupcake Wars, which is obviously a competition. And, you know, the show doesn't just bring somebody on and he makes cupcakes and then they pick the best cupcake. This is not a bake sale. It's a TV show. So what happens is there's a story. There's how this man became a chef and how he worked so hard to put himself through school and all the things it took for him to get to this competition. And then when he got there, there were painters in the kitchen and they were painting the kitchen an awful color. And, you know, all the things, it's all about the story, because we love stories and stories are how we learn. So even if you're watching the news, there's a story. There's the reporter that went out on this windy day when there was a tornado in the background and everything that it took for her to get there and how she's shivering and her voice is quivering. There's a story that makes everything that we watch interesting to us. And as we know, even children learn by what we tell them. We read them stories that help them to understand what values are going to get them really what they need in life to be authentic.
It's really interesting. As you were, again, I sometimes when people say things, I go off in my head on something that might apply to kids because I have a lot of them. And when you said that about children, what they watch, I just think of my kids, all four of them, sitting on the couches with computers in front of them, laptops glued to YouTube. And all of them, the way TV runs in our house isn't so much on the actual TV screen anymore, but it involves each kid with their own device, and they're like, hey, everybody, go to this and look at this right now. And then they'll all be like, you see that? But they aren't all sitting together watching one thing. They've each got their own device.
They're not interacting.
No, they're interacting. Like all four of them are sitting there, but they're watching the same thing on YouTube, but each on their own device.
Right.
It's
really interesting. Yes.
Yeah.
It is. You know, you brought up YouTube. And YouTube, it's a library of just about anything you could ever want to know. And one of the things about YouTube is that it has brought real talent and real creativity to the attention of people, so that it's made a positive difference in wonderful ways. YouTube can be very interesting, but as you said, everybody's got their own device. Everybody's got their own iPhone or their laptop or their their computer, and so we're not really interacting in a way that we did before. And technology has really taken over psychology. The field of psychology is completely getting revamped because everything that we experience now, whether it's your kids sitting in the living room or giving a talk or being with friends or going into a bookstore, if you can find a real live bookstore, everything is done through technology. And I just heard that there are educational systems that are going to eliminate paper and pencil, that kids are going to be doing everything on their computers. And so the way that we live and who we are is now, we can't just walk away from technology anymore.
It's mandatory here in the schools. Even the kindergartners have iPads here. But in seventh grade, you have to come to school with a device. And you either get issued one from the school or you purchase your own, but you have to have one to go to school here in Falmouth, Maine. It's wild. It's changed. So, you know, it was interesting. Last night, my husband and I went out and actually bought a smart TV. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, yes.
Smart TV. Yeah, exactly. So we have a smart TV. So now everybody can actually sit around if we wanted to and watch YouTube or whatever. We just thought that might help the living room a little bit because we were just both chuckling at, you know, all four kids. They were there all together. It was really cute and everything, but everybody had their own laptop or their own phone, and they were all laughing and interacting, but it was funny. So, but anyway, back to images. Oh, go ahead.
It's changed the way we are as a family.
Yeah.
You know, as you said, we're not just sitting around and watching TV anymore. That's just not how it's done. You have to have a smart TV.
We do a little bit of that. We do, you know, we do that with sports and, you know, interesting shows, you know, but not like the way I grew up, you know, where you were sitting around watching Dallas or something like that, you know, Who Shot JR and all that stuff. It's definitely different in my opinion anyway, but. What do you guys think about that? We've got a chat room going. I'm very curious as to the way you watch TV or watch TV with your family, or if you're watching TV on your device. I know my kids talk about Hulu a lot and Netflix and those types of things. So I'm real curious. If you have any opinions or have any questions, give us a call or type it out in the chat room. The call number is 714-868-0220. So we're talking with Dr. Nancy Moramer. I'm still going to mess that up. She's the author of Get Real, Produce Your Own Life. It's available wherever books are sold. It's got a beautiful cover on it and a beautiful photo of Dr. Nancy on the back. And I'm very curious, as you wrote this, why do you think that the media, TV, the internet, and all these things are still the main influencer? Do you think TV and internet are still the main way people are influenced?
TV, movies, and the internet. Yes, our heaviest influences are our parents and our family, and then if you have good teachers or mentors, those are your second most powerful influence. Media is clearly third, and I think it's going to bump up into first. I think that we're not far behind that happening. And the influence is the subliminal aspect of the way that TV is presented to keep us interested, to entertain us, to provide a service for us. But at the same time, you need to view consciously because you're taking things in and you don't know it. And in the book, I have a spy TV activity where you get to detect the messages in the shows, and there are quizzes and games and things that you can do to just bring yourself into this awareness of what's going on so that you're consciously seeing it, and you're never, again, going to buy that as seen on TV thing that you get home and you say, why did I buy that? Or why did I watch that marathon until 2 in the morning? Why didn't I go to bed? Now I can't wake up in the morning. And why do I always feel insecure? There's so many messages about self-image and what we should be and how we should look and how many friends we should have. And there's actually a new show on called Selfie that makes fun of all of this. And it does it. It's fun, and it does it in a very entertaining way. And that's one of the things that you'll see now. Media is now making fun of itself. Okay, so when you watch the show Selfie, you see how the most popular person on the internet actually has no real friends, and it's very funny, and it teaches us a lot about ourselves. And there are even commercials that really expose the way that the commercial is influencing you. There's one now, it's a car ad, and a woman goes into a car dealer and she says, I think they told me I'm supposed to like beige. And she's in a hypnotic trance, and she's seen some car commercial, and she's in this hypnotic trance, and she goes into the car dealer and then suddenly drops the old trance and adopts a new one and buys the car. So it's an ad that tells you exactly how it's marketing to you. Okay.
Now,
very clever. Do you remember the deodorant commercials with that guy on the horse? He was maybe they didn't have them where you were in your marketing bracket, but there was a guy and he would get on the screen and he would say, I'm really handsome. I'm riding on a horse. He would just expose every piece of the advertising, the marketing, and how they were influencing you. And it was even more effective because you couldn't wait to see what he was going to say next. And so it was an ad for deodorant. But if when media can laugh at itself, then we all learn. We all become conscious about how TV influences us. And buying is a big, big, big part of television.
I couldn't agree with you more, and we're into that buying season. Do you want to go there and sort of talk about that, or I'll give you another choice too, and that's the political scene. You know, there's sometimes where you want to just shut your TV off.
Well, when it gets close to an election, you're seeing a lot of ads, local ads, and if it's a national election, then national ads. And there are all kinds of things. I talk about this in the politics chapter. You could never create an ad the way you do for in a political ad. You could never say the things about a breakfast cereal that you say about your opponent, because you know, if you throw some mud at the wall, mud at the other candidate, and you tell a story about that candidate, again, it's all about the story that makes people think negatively about the candidate. By the time they prove that you're wrong and get you to pull the ad, it's just too late.
Doesn't that teach our kids bullying, though?
Yes. Yes, it most certainly does.
That's a leading question, I know, because that's obviously me saying, I think that teaches our kids bullying. But I watch that stuff, and I'm baffled at how we say, oh, don't bully, don't bully, don't get on the internet and talk bad about people, and don't do this and don't do that. But we have adults doing it.
We sure
do.
And I talk about
that?
Yes. Talk about it in the politics chapter. There are more books written about adult bullying than I think there are about kids bullying. And it's a huge issue. And the opportunities for bullying through the internet are even greater and more widespread than they ever were, you know, on the playground. as I said, psychology is now influenced by media.
Well, and we seem to live in this age where you can do something and somebody might catch it on camera, and you will forever be shunned via the national media or something for doing something silly or stupid or funny or whatever if somebody accidentally picks up on it.
Well,
have you seen that where something goes viral and you would have never known you were being taped or watched or whatever?
Yes, and even celebrity. You know, we've seen certain movie stars, TV stars, who have just been caught saying something horrible about an ethnic group or about their kids or, you know, Alec Baldwin. There was a voicemail that somebody put on, that his daughter put on the Internet of him having an argument with her. And so what you're talking about now is complete changes in the privacy elements of our lives.
Yeah, I think about that guy that they put on the guy the other day a couple weeks ago who bid like $7,000 on The Price is Right for a hammock.
Mm-hmm.
And it was clear he had no clue what the price was, or he misspoke, or whatever. And it went viral all over the national media, and everybody's like, "Ah, ha, ha, what a bad bit," you know, "Ha, ha." And you know, I'd be like, "You've got to be kidding me! Why is that news? And why is that?" It's a little bit of personal opinion coming up here in this interview, but I'm missing how that's not bullying.
Well, but look at America's Funniest Videos. Almost every one of them is about a person or a cat or a dog falling off of a sofa or getting run over. I mean, what we think is funny is a lot of slapstick humor. And there's a victim, and oftentimes there's a bully. And you're absolutely right. You can be humiliated, and you know, I was interviewed by you.
Those are submitted, though, too. Those are submitted. Like this was some guy who had no clue that he bid wrong, and now all of a sudden it's everywhere. I don't think he went home and went, you know, I think I'll submit that.
but it's always the same thing. It's somebody being humiliated or getting hurt. Whether whether it happens to you and you don't submit it, whether you have the discretion not to submit it, or whether it is submitted, again, it's there's a bullying aspect to a lot of humor. You know, there's the whole idea of comedy. What's funny? Ethnic stereotypes, all of the different things that we see in comedy, that sometimes, the dialogue in comedy, if you were to take that dialogue to school, you would get suspended.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you took that script and read it in school, you'd be out.
You would. And the research that I did on the effects of television actually was with children, to determine how children are affected by TV and how they can be affected in positive ways. Because if they see a behavior on TV and nobody tells them that it's inappropriate, they're really taking a lot of that in. They really are, Elizabeth.
So is your let me just ask a little bit more about you personally so that people understand. Do you have like a stance on this where like you don't think kids should watch a certain, you know, if you're really 13, don't go above PG-13, or do you have an opinion on parental supervision on things, or what kids should watch or not watch, or what should be on TV in the first place or not on TV regardless of age? Some of it's getting pretty out there. Do you want to stay away from that, or do you want to offer that, or because I think you could talk about the effects that these images and scenes and things that we see have on us and our children, and maybe you don't have to. I mean, I don't know if you want to give a personal opinion or not. That's up to you.
Well, we can talk about it really this way. The best use of media is when kids are being entertained and getting positive messages. So as parents, you want to structure their viewing in such a way that that's happening. So that's the first thing. The second thing that we know about parents and kids is that if you have any doubt whatsoever whether your child should watch a show, watch it with them. And decide together, is this really good for me? Is this really something that I should be watching? And help them if it's not violence or inappropriate content, if it's just a complex content, help them to understand the messages in the movie and help them to decide if they want those messages. So the idea of creating media that's positive for children is choose positive shows, watch with your kids, teach them conscious viewing skills so that they know how they're affected. I had a mom who didn't want her child to go to McDonald's. And I don't know if you heard about the big trial where the dad, it was a custody situation. Dad picked up his son. He took him. He wanted to take him to dinner. The child wanted to go to McDonald's. He said, no, I'm taking you to a good restaurant, a decent restaurant, and if you don't want to go there, you're not going to have dinner. He was sued because he wouldn't take his child to McDonald's, and he lost. He lost. Yes, this is a big lawsuit. So all these things came out on the web about the dangers of eating fast food, and that particular restaurant was targeted very, very heavily. And I have a whole chapter about advertising and how we spend our money, and I do talk about that and why kids want to go to McDonald's and why this child wouldn't eat if he couldn't go to McDonald's because of that influence. And so those are the kinds of things that we look at. This mom showed her
Can
son.
Can I interrupt you for 1 second?
Oh, yes. Go ahead. I want to talk
totally
Morgan
funny,
Spurlock
but...
YouTube.
Well, I used to have one of my kids would. I'd say, "What do you want to eat?" And he goes, "Well, this side of me is chicken nugget, and this side of me, and this side of me is vegetables." And he'd look at me and say it like that, and I'm like, "Okay." You know, and it just happened to be necessarily McDonald's chicken nuggets, but he said, "This side of me is me." This is so cute. I can just still remember being about five, going, "Well, Mom, this side of me is chicken nugget, and this side of me is vegetables, but this side of me that's chicken nugget, it's bigger." You know, it was just cute.
That's a conscious child.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, really funny, and you know it's influenced by 1,000 different things just by the words chicken nugget, you know, whatever.
I do talk those in the book. I mentioned
yeah,
chicken.
I bet.
But one of the moms that had told me a story about her son wanted to know if it was good to go to McDonald's because all his friends were going to McDonald's, and this was a preschool child. And so there's a YouTube video with clips of the movie Super Size Me, which
yeah.
was a movie that Morgan Spurlock put together, and where he subsisted primarily on, actually entirely on McDonald's food for a period of time. And they would show him every day going to the drive-thru, and if they said supersize it, he had to supersize it. And so he was eating nothing but McDonald's, and he got deathly ill, and there would be doctors monitoring his vital signs throughout the process of this marathon, this eating marathon. And his vitals just became so heavily influenced by the food. He couldn't hold the food down anymore. And so she showed him these videos of this man getting sick, eating McDonald's food and pulling up to the drive-thru and all the symptoms he was having. And he never asked her to go to McDonald's again. And if they pass one now, he tells her he doesn't want to go there. Mommy, we don't go there.
Yeah, you know, we affectionately call our minivan the French Fry Mobile. And that is because I swear to God, when we clean it out, we always find like dead, petrified French fries. And they're still, they don't look any different. whatever adjectives you wanted to use to describe a French fry that's still intact from like 1,000 years ago and looks like you could like pick it up and eat it, I don't get it.
Yeah.
We have a joke, the French Fry Mobile.
And you're talking about a lot of the backlash that's on the internet right now about McDonald's and how the food never dies, and there's a lot of well-written blogs about this right now. And so McDonald's has come out with an ad, and it's called Ask McDonald's. And it shows people saying,
Are the hamburgers made out of real meat? What kind of oil are the French fries made with? And that's their new commercial to combat. They're not trying to say that, you know, Happy Meals bring joy anymore. They're saying, basically, if you have questions about McDonald's, here's a website you can go to and get answers. So,
yeah, and in their defense a little bit, they're doing a better job than when my kids were little, because you really can legitimately go through now and get a Happy Meal and get apples and get a milk and get, you know, it's not a giant soda and fries and a hamburger anymore or whatever. There's some choices with some of the stuff, and they seem like you can go in there and have a little bit of a healthier selection, I think, anyway, if you were going to eat there and wanted to be a little bit healthier about it. They're not all, you know, awful.
And that brings
up I wouldn't want to go. Yeah, go ahead.
It brings up a key point, which is not only are we influenced by media, we influence media. You know, we influence what's on TV. You know, whether it's you know, during the recession, there were a lot of shows about people who were having a hard time making it financially, people who lost their jobs, because TV reflects what's happening with us. But we influence TV as well. And what you're saying, and we influence McDonald's as well. You know,
well,
it's not because McDonald's wanted to put apples right in their lunches. It's because parents wanted it. And
if you don't buy it, they're not going to advertise it. You know, we're actually kind of more powerful than we think, because if everybody stopped buying a certain thing, I promise you it's not going to be advertised. Just like the lady, the Florida mom who got so upset the other day and went on the national news about the Breaking Bad dolls that were out in Toys R Us. You know, they did, you know, little character dolls of Breaking Bad that came complete with, you know, a bag of cash and a thing modeled after the Breaking Bad thing, sold at Toys R Us to basically adults, and I'm not sure they were on the kids. And this mom went crazy. And everybody put her on TV, and there was a media stir and everything, and Toys R Us pulled them. But there were tweets flying all around and stuff, so yeah, you're powerful in a way. You write a blog about something you don't like, and it may very well garner attention.
It does, and actually, in the exciting conclusion of the book, I talk about how to have that kind of influence on media. Let them know what you want. Let them know what you don't want. You know, kids shouldn't even be watching Breaking Bad. Why do we have toys, Breaking Bad toys?
Yeah.
You know, do adults need these toys? I don't think so. Do children? Absolutely not. So, yeah, I appreciate that mother's stand. And taking that stand makes a huge difference. Have you ever seen the show or heard of the show Drop Dead Diva?
I have, yes.
Okay, it is a very well-done show. It's got comedy, it's got drama, it's got a supernatural element. Everything about it is very cleverly done. And the show got pulled, but it's back because of viewer demand. People wanted to see this show. And as a result, it is back on the air. So you do have something to say about it. And there's I cite a lot of research in the book that talks about what we know from research about how specific kinds of TV affect us. There was even a study, there's a whole chapter on drama and violence in the book, and there was a study done on videos of The Sopranos. And some people got to watch the whole show, and other people watched the show but without any elements of sexual violence. And people said that they preferred the elements, the shows without the sexual violence.
I'm a big Hallmark Channel myself. I am such a Hallmark Channel fan.
Uh-huh.
It's scary. I'm kind of one of those wholesome people, I guess. I don't know. But when I used to come home from school, I was glued to Gilligan's Island and Little House on the Prairie. And that part of me just won't exit. I don't know. I just still, you could put me in front of Little House on the Prairie reruns all day long, and I'd sit there. I just love those kinds of shows that are just sort of peaceful, happy, family stuff, and I get glued. My husband and kids make fun of me, and I am the only girl in the house other than the pets, and the dog will sit with me and watch. But, you know, the Hallmark Channel starts, like, Christmas programming, I want to say the day after Halloween, and there are all these new shows and everything, and I'm glued.
Oh, the Hallmark Channel.
It's the funniest thing.
Wonderful. The only thing about the Hallmark Channel.
It's a little unrealistic, but it's fun.
Well, it's unrealistic. Yeah. Everything has a happy ending, and I talk about that in the chapter. Love and romance, because all American shows typically have a happy ending. And, of course, it's not realistic, but it does create some false ideas about relationships. And so as adults, we can watch and just enjoy it, especially they're starting these Christmas movies. I agree, Elizabeth. I can't wait. I wish we lived closer. We could pull up a couch and watch these movies together.
Yeah, they're just kind of fun.
I think it's so fun. But, you know,
the reason I brought that up is because exactly what you just said is, now let's take it to the opposite thing where things are like so, you know, like la-la land, that's not real either.
No, the happy endings are very confusing. There's a section in the book where I talk about having taken video projects to other countries, and their response was, well, this isn't for us because it has a happy ending. If you ever watch foreign films, they don't have happy endings. They don't even have endings.
Really?
You know,
that's funny.
Films, they just end in the middle of somebody's life, and that's all there is to that. But,
whereas
so
we
seem all
at the end of movies, happy end. Yeah, we seem to like piece everything together, and even if it takes 5 minutes at the very end, it's kind of end happy, darn it.
Yeah, even there'll be 30 seconds left, and you think, how can they turn this around? But you know that they will.
Oh, yeah.
That's
really funny.
Will. It is.
Do you want to, what a fun show. I hope you guys are having fun listening, because, you know, Nancy and I love to chat about different things, and hopefully you're getting something from this conversation. I'm taking a few of the questions that you're asking typing in and tweeting me and asking Nancy. So I appreciate you guys being involved, even if you're not calling in. Dr. Nancy, do you want to give them your quiz? Do you have that in front of you, or should I read it? I think the quiz is kind of fun.
We have a quiz, the general quiz, or the quiz about spending?
I think it's the one about recording. Yeah, give them the general one. That's fun. You can give them both.
Okay. All right. So do you want to ask, do you want me to ask the questions? They are, it starts out with, do you have to get home in a hurry to see your recorded edition of your favorite show? Now, this is really, this is important, because there are three levels of viewing. There's when you enjoy viewing, when you prefer viewing to doing other things, and when you have to view, when you must view, and that's called addiction. Okay, and there's a whole section on how to identify whether or not you're an addict. So do you have to get home in a hurry to see a recorded version of your favorite show? And if you do, you've probably over-identified with the characters. And, you know, when we talk about characters, when we talk about a show at the water cooler, we don't say, there's a great show on Saturday night, it's called Outlander, and it's an HBO show about a woman who gets thrown back in time. So when people are talking about this show, they don't say, I wonder if the character of Claire is going to get back to the present. They say, I wonder if Claire is going to find her way back to the present. Claire is real. Okay? Claire is a real person. And when you see her often enough in your living room, she becomes a part of your family. And you just have to get home then. You can't, it becomes addictive. You can't break away from the favorite shows. Even when they're taped, you have to get home to see them. And so an important question to ask yourself is, do I have to get home in a hurry? Do I abandon my family during NFL football games or reruns of Sex in the City? Do you believe that reality shows are real? I talk about reality shows. They are staged. There's a story, just like in the Cupcake Wars. There's maybe 50% of reality TV is spontaneous. It depends really on the show and what the script is. But do you believe that reality TV is real? Are you tuned into your favorite cable shows on your electronic devices? Are you watching TV on your phone? I like to watch people on airplanes. They travel with their family, but they watch movies and TV, and they're all on their electronic devices. So that's another telltale thing to look at, if how involved are you, how addicted are you. And I ask the question just
lightly. Would someone like Rick Warren, the author of Purpose Driven Life, be disappointed in you? Are you living your life goals, or are you just ingesting media? Do you have a life? You know, William Shatner's famous line about Star Trek addicts, get a life. And if you need to get a life, then you really, really need to get real. But also, if you are simply a little just dissatisfied with your life, if you read self-help books and you can't quite make the changes that you want to make, it may be that while you want a different life and you want to pursue different goals, that there are subliminal messages that you've absorbed that tell you, I should be doing this, or I should be doing that, or this is the way I should be doing this, or this is the way I need to look, and this is where I need to put my energy and time. And there's a lot of dissatisfaction and unhappiness because of it. And so Get Real helps you to wake up not only to the messages that you've taken in that you don't need, but also to the ones that are really calling from within you about your own true purpose, so that you can start living consciously and viewing consciously.
Right. Yeah, and again, as you're saying things like that, you know, I think one of the things that I'm drawn to on TV, and I know my son as well, and it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to watch it all the time or go out and buy it or anything like that, but I sometimes watch TV just out of sheer curiosity of what they're going to say and do, and I sometimes my jaw drops at, like, I go, God, people are actually going to buy that, wow, you know, kind of thing. I sometimes have that kind of reaction, and it's to fitness things. Fitness and food,
yeah.
Gadgets and so forth. I don't necessarily mind the shows that show you how to cook and things like that. Those don't bug me. They're pretty, you know, I'm not a big fan of the cooking war things, but the cooking shows, like where you actually go, here's how to, you know, melt butter or whatever. But the fitnessy, here's a gadget that's going to help you, you know, drop 20 pounds and do this and do that and everything. Those infomercials. I think of my, I don't know if I should tell, my brother, when he was little, he loved infomercials, and he would be like, Mom, we got to have the Ginsu knife and the this and the that, and the, it'll cut your tomatoes up fast and all that stuff. And those infomercials are, can you talk about infomercials just a little bit? Because I think people think those are very real too.
Well, they are. And, you know, don't you think that if women could take back all of the collective energy they've ever put into weight loss, that we could rule the world?
Yes.
Because
we would have been president by now.
Yeah, exactly. The number one industry in America is weight loss, whether it's some pill or a natural supplement, or what Dr. Oz said today, or what this gadget is, or this exercise machine. And I always talk about this expression on these ads, how subliminal they are. You too can have rock hard abs. Well, now wait a minute. When did I decide I wanted rock hard abs? It assumes this is what you want, and this is how you can get it. It doesn't even ask you what you want. And the obsession with weight and fitness and appearance, everybody knows they should exercise. Everybody knows they should eat right. Everybody pretty much knows how to do that. But people will pay a lot of money to make it easier. And so they'll go on these, you know, these diet plans where you buy packaged food. And, you know, people want an easy fix. We are the nation of instant coffee. And so, you know, we want it to be easier. And if this exercise program can make it easier or guarantee results or tell you that you're going to have something that you're not even sure that you want, it's very confusing to the brain. And if you don't want rock hard abs, you begin to question yourself. When someone says you too can have rock hard abs, if that's not your goal in life, when you get up in the morning, that's not the first thing you say to yourself purposefully. Yeah, then it makes you feel bad.
Yeah.
And then you question yourself, well, why don't I want rock? Maybe I should want rock hard abs. Well, maybe this is what I should want. You know, there's so much subliminal activity going on that unless we wake up to the advertising, the ways that advertising influence us, we can affect not only self-image, but our goals.
You know, and that is a perfect example. Our goals can really change based on what somebody tells us we want.
Yeah. So this is the Best Ever You show, and you can hear both of us kind of going a little bit on and on about, you know, a lot of the negativity on TV. And I think we're both kind of doing that on purpose, because it's up to us to sift through it. Can you tell us some of the C's that you have of conscious viewing?
Yes. Each chapter has what I call a trance breaker and a C, letter C, a top 10 C's for conscious viewing. And each C comes with a specific trance breaker that you can use in every part of your life. So, for example, if you want to go to bed at a certain time and not stay up too late and watch TV, we use something called pattern interruption. And pattern interruption means for each time that you do something differently, the brain gets retrained and it gets used to doing something differently as opposed to continuing to watch television. So that would be an example of a trance breaker. And some of the top C's here that I have on the list are, the first one is curiosity. Just start to wonder about how influenced you are by television. If you looked at the cover of this book and you said, oh, I don't need that, begin to get curious about how you might need that. Because curiosity is the first stage in learning and in change. So just begin to wonder if maybe I do need to read the section on love and relationships or the chapter on family. So just begin to wonder about the power of your television. And then
politics, because, you know, there is really like a, you know, Democratic stations and Republican stations and things like that. And if you are not aware of that and you're a consumer of that channel, you might be wondering, why is this not fitting with me? You may have to flip the channel or something to get to hear what you want to hear on TV.
Exactly. That's the second C. Change what you do daily. Think about it. Because, yeah, there are clearly, yes, there are biased stations. Most stations are biased one way or the other in terms of their political point of view. Some are much more neutral than others. Some are openly biased, but they make no bones about it. You have to know that, as you said. You have to say, is this good for me? And in the politics chapter, I talk a lot about that and political views and TV viewing. So that's something.
If you look, even right now with Ebola, you've got stations putting out their views by the guests that they have on.
Yes,
very interesting.
By the guests. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But just choosing which details to present about a story and which experts to present is bias in itself. Exactly.
Yeah.
And there may not be an intent to bias.
I'm not saying there's an intent,
there.
It's interesting. It's interesting to watch.
Oh, it is. It is. Politics, that's one of my favorite chapters, actually.
No, it's not mine either, but it's so out there right now. And I really do believe it's the number one reason, and I know in this house, where the TV just gets blatantly just plunk, shut right off when somebody's ripping on somebody or anything. I will just shut it off. I'm just like, we don't need to listen to that. It's terrible. Or when you get a screen of six people all arguing and trying to make their point. Oh, I can't stand it.
Yes. And the person who yells the loudest gets to be correct. Did you ever notice that? The person who yells the loudest wins.
Yeah.
Poor role models for all of us. Another one of the top 10 C's, as you asked about, is, as you said, consciously watch something that you already watch. So sit down in front of your TV and say, okay, what's going on here? Am I watching a show about unemployed young people who are trying to get a job, but they're wearing designer clothes and they're going to fancy cafes? Now, there's a message in that, you know, and even if you're feeling broke and you're trying to get a job and you're seeing this, there's a subliminal message, and just watch it consciously. It doesn't mean you have to go out and spend a lot of money on a new outfit and go to the, you know, fanciest restaurant in town. It just means watch consciously. Enjoy the show.
to pay attention so that that doesn't subliminally affect your spending.
So we have 5 minutes left, and the one thing I wanted to ask you about is we watch TV a little differently still than what we've even talked about now. I know, again, I'm very big into how young people do things because I think how young people do things sometimes drives how things end up and change and so forth. I remember being a consumer as a little kid and seeing it change. And so I watch my kids and I see what they do a lot, and they will very often sit in front of the TV with their phone, and they will actually be putting comments, and not anonymous ones or anything, but comments about the show, like on Twitter through a hashtag, or they'll be voting through, you know, American Idol or The Voice or something. So they watch TV. So you're watching TV and you're looking at your device and you're commenting while you're – it's a confused – do you ever do that at all, Nancy?
No, I don't, but
– I'm giving you an assignment.
But even as you're watching America's Got Talent, Howie Mandel's job is to tweet about the show while he's judging the show.
There you go. That's the perfect example. Yeah, you see that even the hosts now have phones where they're tweeting out, or like Ellen DeGeneres took that picture through Samsung that was actually an advertisement. Everybody got paid to do that at the Oscars or something like that. I can't remember what it was. But you see this interaction with your phone happening. And if you watch, Twitter is very powerful for that because the hashtags will trend as certain things are on TV. Very interesting.
It's fascinating how it's sort of grassroots crowd control of you know, what people want, what they like. Really, the new show Selfie brings a lot of this to light, and it makes fun of a lot of it. Thank goodness we're not taking this too seriously, because this is entertainment. We want to be entertained. We want to be educated. We want to have an experience. We want to go to the movies, but we don't want to have the negative effects. And I think, you know, as you said, as we're wrapping up here, that's the bottom line. Media is fantastic, but so is food. And you can't have everything, and you can't have everything all the time or too much of anything, or you're going to get sick.
Yeah.
It's not good for
us. I appreciate you being here today, and I appreciate everybody in the chat room who's joined us. I thank you so much for listening, and I hope we've answered a lot of the questions. And there's a lot of really nice reviews about your book. I think it's really cool. It's called Get Real, Produce Your Own Life. And you can go to – I love calling you Dr. Nancy. I hope that's okay. You can contact Nancy's website, realconsciousliving.com, or go to Dr. Nancy. Online.com, and there's so much to your website that you do, and I can't thank you enough too for also all the help that you provide other people. And Dr. Nancy is a very big supporter of other people and the things that they do, so it's not all just about Nancy and her book. I thank you so much for taking me underneath your wings when my book came out, and just I watch you a lot and how you interact with people and how you are in social media, and you're a huge supporter of other people. So thank you for that.
You're very, very welcome, Elizabeth, and I appreciate that because, you know, this is the perfect example of what we've been talking about all day today, positive use of the media. And you just let me know that my purpose in the media is coming through. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Positive force. I love it. And so if you need a little bit of positive, and I think this book too, it's such a good reminder of not everything that you see on TV is real, and you've got to really make your own opinions and form your own opinions, and sometimes you've got to stick to them, and sometimes you've got to tell your kids or help your kids watch TV a little better than they might be. That YouTube. I've had a lot of discussions with my kids about YouTube and what's real on there and what's not. The best use of YouTube that we've had in this house so far is finding something to cook. It's been so cute. My little 12-year-old has taught himself to cook through YouTube. It's the funniest thing. He takes his phone and what he wants to cook. We go buy the groceries together, and we come and we make what he's found on YouTube to cook. It's the cutest thing.
And you know, it used to be you'd look in a cookbook. You know, a friend of mine just said, the other day. I don't have cookbooks. I just go online and look for a recipe.
Yeah, I tried to get them interested in cookbooks. So I've got a lot of them on the shelf. And I've tried so hard. I've got kids' cookbooks, everything. And he looks at me and he goes, no, Mom, I'll just Google it and find it on YouTube. And so he's made French fries and, I mean, all sorts of cute little things. And pizza. And so he's taught himself to cook, and it's been really, really joyful over the past year. So there's something very positive to leave everybody with for your kids if you need a real good use of YouTube other than, you know, screaming at them to get off of it. <'Cause they're on. laughs>
Oh, I love it.
All right. Yeah, that's lots of love, everybody. Get real. Produce your own life. Dr. Nancy Marammer. And Marammer. Sorry, I'm going to do that. That's just my Midwest accent. I'm so sorry. And
okay.
We love you very much. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you, everybody, for joining us. And take care. Go out and buy Nancy's book. We love you. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Best Ever You Network. For more information, just visit us at besteveryou.com.